And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I am Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is
Scotty Hertz of CFRU.
And it's the new year!
Yes! Happy New Year, everyone!
Happy New Year!
This is show, I was trying to remember, Is this the sixth time we've done an award show as our show?
This is the start of year six.
Start of year six.
So this is the fifth award show.
This is episode five of our year-end awards. Although there was a prior history.
It's technically maybe episode 255, somewhere around there.
Oh, there you go.
So that's getting into the weeds. What am I going to say? Open Sources, a CFRU's political current affairs discussion show. You can tell it's the end of the year. You can find us here every Thursday at 5 p.m. so we talk about the latest news from Guelph, Ontario, Canada, and around the world, and we even sometimes interview local newsmakers and politicians. But as Scotty implied, we're actually here today to do our annual awards show, gala, and banquet.
That's right, we go for hamburgers afterwards.
Right.
Or some traditional meal.
Yes.
It's probably hamburgers.
Yes, well.
Traditional meal.
Right.
Has generally in the
traditional
past
Christmas meal.
Been hamburgers.
Yeah, no. So, you know, we do this at the end of every year. It's the fifth time we've done it. And it was something that started on the old Beyond the Ballot Box show, but we still do it. So if you've never heard the award show before, we do four categories. We do best politician, worst politician, the dumpster fire of the year, and the good news story of the year. And so it's always interesting to see our picks. It gives us a good idea of like how the political year was, and who's up and who's down, and who's on fire and who's doing good stuff.
And just as a heads up, Donald Trump has been retired from all categories. I think that was right off the bat.
That was after he won in 2016. We're like, we cannot.
He's just not. It's just not allowed.
It just. I mean. He would, like, honestly, he would cover all categories, I think. Like, he'd be the dumpster fire, but he'd also be the worst politician. But he's also kind of the best because he still has, like, basically 40% of support that will never go away.
And the good news story? He's hilarious.
The good news story is, that he provides a lot of, like, really great, you know, quotable material. And that if anything's going to get people to the polls next year to vote him out, it's Donald Trump. But I digress. Let's start with one of the good news items, the best, well, maybe, but the best politician of the year category. Start off positive.
I'll go? You want me to go?
You want to go? Yeah, sure.
Yes, my best politician is, I guess you would call her an extra political person.
Ooh.
Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah.
Every once in a while, somebody comes around that is just that person. And I actually chose this before she was picked as Time's Person of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a couple days before. I'm like, I think it's probably Greta. You know, over time, there are people that aren't necessarily seated politicians. I'm gonna say, and it tends to lean towards young people, like Malala, who I think I may have given the award to once.
Mm-hmm.
The Parkland teenagers in the U.S. People who are super influential politically and yet are not seated politicians. So there's a bit of a bend there, I guess, to give her this award. But her name's on everybody's lips, right? In the past little while, something that she does really well is that she's able to give it as good as she gets from people like Trump, particularly on Twitter, where she just trolls them so severely. Like when what was Trump's comments about her, you know, being an angry person and she should get a movie and run chill.
She should go see a movie. And then she changes
her status like, I'm just an angry kid who's...
with anger management issues.
Anger management issues.
Trying to chill out and watch him. Yeah, she's really smart.
If you're able to ruffle somebody like Trump, who actually took the time to get somebody to superimpose his head on Greta's body on the Trump, on the Time cover. Bizarre. But he retweeted it. I don't know whether he did it or somebody else did it, but if you are able to get under somebody like Trump's skin, that means you are doing something right in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably, that award from Time probably made all the old man yelling at cloud types just absolutely lose it. And they're still losing it, probably. I'm never going to subscribe to that magazine again. So,
well, the killer is, too, that's like one of Trump's all-time favorite magazines.
Yeah, and he's obsessed with being on the cover so much so like he made up a faux cover and put it up. Was it his golf course in Scotland?
I think it was somewhere. I don't think he was even in Scotland. I think it was at Bedminster. It was one of the things that started David Fahrenthold on his journey into like getting into the bottom of the Trump tax returns. And yeah,
it's, and who's the other one? Bolsonaro, who is similar to Trump, called her a brat. Like she gets it from all these
it's so bizarre.
Higher up men. Generally, but you know, she's young, she's happens to be slight of frame and tiny, but she's got this massive voice and she's absolutely relentless. Like,
and she's got great like facial expressions. Yes. Like one of the best was like when she ran into Trump at the UN and Trump comes out and you can see her like coming from around the corner and the look of disgust
combination
on her
of
face.
Shock, disgust, it's... like I thought she was gonna start screaming, but thankfully she didn't.
How dare you? Yeah.
I'm wondering how many young people, I guess women specifically, are going to be named Greta in the next little while. I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be like the Ashley of now. The only thing I think, you know, she's only 16, so she's going to have a lot of time to be in this game, hopefully, unless climate change takes us all out, but that's another story. I'm just wondering if she's, you know, will she ever sell out? I don't think she will. I think she's a very principled person, very principled young person for 16. But, well, you know, are we ever going to see Nestle Presents Greta Thunberg with special guests? You know, I don't think we're going to see that.
We're not going to see, like, a Wee Day thing with Greta Thunberg. I mean, anyone who like, gets on a sailboat to prove a point. Like,
and then goes back on a sailboat.
Is freaking legit.
It was almost like a hitch online. She's like, yeah, I need a ride. I need to get to Madrid. I'm like, okay, we'll take it. Yeah. She just goes.
Yeah, she's solid.
I'm sure sailboat shares have gone up.
Speaking of aspirational features, my best politician for the year is Justin Trudeau.
Oh.
He survived.
Yeah.
Boom. He had like...
The end. No.
Scandal. Pretty well, no, I mean for
yes.
real.
Yes.
Scandal after scandal after scandal. Blackface should have killed him dead on the runway or like in of the plane when it landed. Like they should have just thrown his body out of the plane after that. SNC, it's just like a nakedly terrible old school liberal scandal of like friends with money and the privilege that buys.
Oh yeah.
And then to throw Jane Philpott under the bus and Jody Wilson-Raybould, the first Indigenous woman to be Attorney General, she goes under the bus. A complete and utter betrayal of all the aspirational, of all the hopeful, sunny way stuff that he came to office with. It just like went, it just was like somebody double tapped it. Like it was a drive-by shooting of all that stuff from 2015. And to get to the end of the finish line, still losing the popular vote, but to come out with 155 seats, 15 short of a majority, to still be standing when the leader of the opposition, who got the most popular vote, who won one of the biggest majorities in Canadian history, has to leave? Come on. It's, you know, you can love him or hate him or feel ambivalent about him, but like in terms of playing the game, Trudeau won this year, no doubt.
Yeah, even though it's a minority, even though it's a hung parliament, I would sort of agree with that. I don't know about the best, but he's like, to be Canadian about it, he's like the really, really good, eh? Like,
he's pretty okay.
He's pretty okay. But that's the thing. When you look at what the alternative was or what the alternative could have been,
mm-hmm.
or potentially if the minority doesn't last, what the alternative may be. And that, of course, yet remains to be seen with the news of Scheer's departure. So I would say things are looking up. And as you say, like to be able to survive a scandal, little scandals, but I'm thinking about blackface in particular, considering this nation, our nation,
mm-hmm.
and just the sheer scope of, let's just say, multiculturalism here,
mm-hmm.
to be able to come back from that is pretty impressive. I think it's also very Canadian, not necessarily all Canadians, but a good majority of Canadians.
Hashtag not all Canadians.
Yeah, no, hashtag not all Canadians. Gave him the benefit of the doubt, right? They said,
He
still really, really needs to redeem himself for that. And I hope he is continuously working on that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it because, you know, after the election,
he kind of went away.
He went off the radar. He's back with a new cabinet. He's got backup in Chrystia Freeland, who seems to be they're sort of touted. I think she's being touted as the right. the pretender, the dauphin.
Well, I'm not sure she's the pretender.
Woman in
but,
waiting. Yeah. No, the pretender to the throne. You know what I mean? Like,
but,
she's like,
I mean, and that could be a smart move on his part.
The contender, I should say.
One of the things that we're seeing with the Conservative Party is that, you know, this is what, like, that's what happens when you make the party all about you. Yeah. As Stephen Harper did. Stephen Harper was the Conservative Party. And mm-hmm. so when that person goes away, you know, what does the party do? If it wasn't for the fact of, like, the bulwark in Alberta and Saskatchewan, this would be a much bigger issue. But because they ran the table in Alberta and Saskatchewan, because, like, who else is Alberta and Saskatchewan going to vote for? The Conservative Party might be in real, real trouble. But this is – and I'm drawing this point that Trudeau, whether this is him himself thinking this or this is, like, the advice he's getting by putting, like – Chrystia Freeland just like a little bit ahead of him by receding a bit, putting her out a little bit more.
It's a good move.
It's a good move yeah. for him because it dismantles sort of the cult of personality that the Liberal Party, you could argue, certainly was in 2015, 2016. But it also puts a lot of, I don't want to think too cynically, but it puts a lot of pressure on her because if things go to pot, you can always go like, look, Christian was my front person on this, and you know sometimes blank happens, and I'm Justin Trudeau, and I can yikety-yak, get out of anything.
It is almost like a co. I think it's going to be run like a co-premiership,
right,
or prime ministerialship, but it's still premier of Canada at this point.
Yeah.
So, an evolving story. Wonder what we're going to come up with this time next year on that one.
For the, yeah, I mean
Greta Thunberg's prime minister of some country, Sweden. Sure, why not?
Wouldn't that be great if she just like decided to take everything over? That'd be interesting.
I don't. Yeah, the benevolent dictator.
She become the new Joan of Arc.
Yeah, like sure. I think a lot of people would go for that because I mean, how much worse could it be, right? She seems like she's got it together. She can't actually vote.
She might have it more together than I do.
and sailing skills.
And sailing skills. Yeah. So
she's a very skilled individual.
I'm not sure.
I'd like to think we are in some ways, but
yeah, you know. I'm not so sure. so let's do everybody's favorite category, the dumpster fire.
Oh yeah,
and my choice this year,
yeah,
Republican Party.
Oh yeah, there's excellent choice. Bravo.
Just we're coming off of the impeachment hearings, the Judiciary Committee, and watching just like Matt Gaetz. Who has no less than 2 DUIs, just going off about it, the witch hunt and the imposition. And then you go to Jim Jordan. He throws it to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan, of course, is being sued by 2 different people for allegedly turning his back while they were being molested by the wrestling coach at Ohio State.
Ooh.
This is Jim Jordan. This is the guy who doesn't show up in a jacket. Even the nighttime hearing, I was like, it's after 6. Where's your jacket? Like, I don't stand up for much of the dress code, but honestly,
where's the jacket?
Where's your freaking jacket?
Yeah.
Not wearing a jacket doesn't make me think you're working harder. Not wearing a jacket makes me think you left it at freaking Arby's at lunch. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's a mustard stain on it, so you couldn't, yeah.
And so, like, these are the 2 front, even people like Louis Gohmert, who already has a ridiculous name he has to, like, push past in order to get legitimacy. But to see these people just throw themselves on the train tracks for Donald Trump, a man who has 0 loyalty to anybody.
Ride or die, Donald, ride or die, yeah.
He's ripped off contractors. He's ripped off charities. He's ripped off people who went to his fake university. He's not allowed. This is the thing that I don't get. Like, we're getting into Donald Trump, but I mean, it's all of a type. But we're talking about a man, the president of the United States, who is barred by law from running a charity. Because he's a crook. And this is the person they're riding and dying for, as you said. People like Duncan Hunter, mm-hmm. who was recently pled guilty to being basically using his campaign war chest as his own personal piggy bank for things like video games and flying his rabbit across the country and going to hotels with mistresses, plural, and then throwing his wife under the bus and saying she was in charge of the finances. Astonishing. Meanwhile, you have Katie Hill, Democratic congresswoman from California, who has to resign because her deadbeat son of a bitch ex-husband releases revenge porn of her and starts like ghastly rumors. I mean, she's admitted to the one where she had an affair with a campaign staffer, but has denied the one where she had with a congressional staffer, which would be violating the rules of the House. But she has to go away immediately. Duncan Hunter gets to hold out for a year till he pleads, and then he pretty much has to go because he's a criminal. This is the modern Republican Party, and it's ghastly.
Yeah, and I think, well, I mean, that just shows where each of the party's moral compass is generally set, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're talking a bit about the impeachment hearing. Those stupid signs that they put up and the little showmanshipy things that they did.
The
show is getting ridiculous. And it kind of reminds me of, we talked about this in the previous show, or I did anyway, about Boris Johnson and how he is it's all about the showman. Trump is a showman, right? It's all, people seem to eat that kind of stuff up because maybe they spend more time in front of various strains of media rather than so finding out what's actually in the media to know what's going on, and they sort of accept that. But yeah, the bar, just the more you watch, the bar just gets lower and lower and lower. We all like to think that we sort of hold ourselves up to some kind of higher standard, but mm-hmm. just not seeing it, like, over and over again. It's like, where did this clown come from? And it's
right,
a bunch of skillless wonders, really, really, like, grating almost. I mean, the U.S. is even our country, obviously, but I feel a sort of a sympathy for people. Like, first of all, what makes you think that this is the person for the job? And secondly,
right,
you know, you have this, what is considered supposed to be this great democracy with all of its checks and balances, and we take, you know, the departments kind of not control each other, but complement each other, and, you know, you don't want to get too deep into the U.S. politics.
Mm.
And then, and you know, their legacy of the founding fathers and all that, and how the Constitution is this perfect document, like the Bible to some of them. And yet they
literally
just,
written by God,
yes,
like the Bible.
With a quill pen, because that's what God uses, a quill pen.
Absolutely.
And then they just run all over it all of the time. Tire tracks right across all of it.
And the thing I don't understand is, like, what do people like Matt Gaetz stand for? Like,
well, that's it, right?
Like, defending Trump?
Conservatism.
That's why you got into politics, to defend Trump? I don't get it.
It's sad.
Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and a lot of these guys have been around for a while have, like, made their lives about defending Trump. Sure, but, like, and I know that's not the reason they got into politics.
No.
But I don't understand
because
people
they
like
have
Matt
the presidency,
Gaetz.
Right? It's right. All about the presidency because they see the president isn't just a person. It's also a concept there. Once you're the president of the States, Jimmy Carter's 90 whatever, he's still the president, right? It's like
he's still doing more work on a daily basis than Donald Trump.
Oh, though. Yeah, absolutely. That bashed up face and those blocks of wood. I'm like, oh, bless him. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I hope he comes to Guelph one of these days and builds some houses for us. But yeah, so... But yeah, I mean, he's like the oldest surviving, isn't he?
To get to your point, like, it's just like there's so much silliness. Like, I found this article today about how there's a new conservative squad because Ilhan Omar. You have Ilhan Omar. You have Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. You have Rashida Tlaib. And I can't remember the fourth woman. I'm sorry. But, you know, because they've become such central figures in the Democratic Party and have gotten so much influence and you know, are just talked about in the media all the time.
Cool.
We
like
have
them.
To have a conservative squad. And it's just, it's so silly. And for, and like, to go back to like people like Devin Nunes too, who's suing a Twitter parody account that's called Devin Nunes's Cow. It's like, what are you thinking?
Did you post the picture of the, and somebody made the comment about the Republican conservative squad as being like, it's like four lost Fox News anchors became like the Republicans.
I only saw the picture of the one woman.
Again, not to judge people by how they look, but
no,
it's
but
like,
I mean they're from Fox News Central casting of what a woman looks like.
I don't know if it's like the being up on the stools thing. And
yeah, it's like, you know,
you gotta wear pink, you gotta be on a stool,
blonde, bleach blonde hair, perfect makeup, you know.
A crucifix, maybe.
Outfits. Or, you know, there's a type, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And if you don't fit
again,
that,
not to judge people by what they wear, but it's just such a cliche. And it's like...
Well, it's a cliche, but it, you know, it's right there in... I was going to say black and white, but it's right there in living color when you turn on Fox News.
Are they calling themselves the Republican squad, or do they have
the conservative squad.
The conservative squad.
They're going to combat socialism.
A failed sitcom that lasted three episodes before it was...
you know,
burnt.
Just like when Lex Luthor saw the Justice League forming and said, we need a Justice League of evil. You have the Republican Party. It's like, oh, there's a squad. We're going to have a conservative squad with...
You get a squad, we get a squad.
We're gonna have a conservative squad with Christianity and capitalism. So screw you guys. Anyway, what's your dumpster fire?
Oh, of course. I'm gonna get carried away. That's like, yes, I have a dumpster fire. Well, speaking of Greta off the top, to me, the dumpster fire is the climate and climate change.
Yeah.
The political, with all of the marching and school shutting on a Friday and all the millions of people out in the street, the political will is still not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The drill baby drill crowd are pretty much winning, right? I think. And in every week, there was a few earlier in December, Greenland losing 4 trillion tons of ice in less than 30 years. Mm-hmm. And if you anybody saw, I can't believe I can't remember the name. The oh boy, I dropped that completely. Stop for one sec.
Continue.
Disappearing ice in Greenland, and if you remember An Inconvenient Truth, there was that one, okay, if this ice goes, then we're all underwater. The melt is just totally accelerated. Ocean rise, what did they say? If Greenland's ice goes, 7 centimeters by the end of the century. Mm-hmm. Story after story, the ocean's being starved of oxygen. And right in the middle of that, there was a flaming oil train somewhere out in the Canadian prairies. Yeah. 1.5 million liters of oil.
That's why we need a pipeline.
But get this, they said, released. It was released. It was like, it's like you're releasing animals back into the wild so they can be rehabilitated. It doesn't work that way with oil. Greta is right. The house is on fire. The dumpster is on fire, burning petrochemicals, you name it. And it's almost to the point where people are doing the whole, other than sort of marching on the street on Friday, whatever, it's like, well, what am I going to do? I mean, no fish. You know, the coastlines will be altered. I'll be dead. What's going to happen, right? So, are we going to see some kind of Blade Runner, Black Mirror, I don't know, Mad Max future? I won't be around. It doesn't matter, right? But it does matter.
I don't even think it's even that. I think it's, there's just, it's people who are like, I need my oil patch job. I need my 6 figures. And I don't even think people are thinking that far ahead. I don't think people are thinking about when they die. I think they're thinking about, like, next month I can have a cool job where I don't have to, worry about being retrained, or I don't have to worry about moving, and I don't have to worry about, working in an industry that I'm going to make less. I want to have my big house with the white picket fence and...
One of those big new GM cars. What is it? 5.3 or 6.2 liter engines? Like, this is what's new from GM. All the talk of electric cars, we've got big, stupid cars you're going to drive to your inside sales job. You don't need that much torque, over and over again. And it was again earlier in December, too, with Jason Kenney and the UCP. Rolling out that,
right.
What are they calling it? That it's the propaganda arm that oil is great. They changed so memorable we can't remember, but they changed it from what it was initially going to be, like the, because we need good clean Canadian oil that isn't like, doesn't have the blood of a million Saudis on it or something. I don't know.
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Clean, what is it? Ethical oil, didn't Ezra Levant call it that?
It's the CEC, the Canadian Energy Center.
The Canadian Energy Center.
Which sounds so innocuous, right?
Propaganda name or something they make up in a movie where, like, somebody evil is in the basement doing bad things.
Yes, we all the Canadian Energy Center. It strikes me as... It strikes me as disingenuous, too, because this came up in the Liberal debate... at the Liberal Leadership Candidates debate, that apparently there are more jobs in clean tech now than there are in the oil sector. Granted, oil's on a downturn too, but the anticipation is that all we need is pipelines, pro-pipeline governments, and this thing's going to get back to $100 a barrel, and we can get back to business as usual. Complete ignorance of the fact that there are boom and bust cycles. Yeah, maybe if there's a we had a federal government that was a little more pro-pipeline, maybe it would get stuff moving faster. But, there was a conservative government for 10 years and built a total of 0 pipelines.
And the Liberals bought a pipeline, and then they're twinning it right about now with another pipeline. So if on the face of it, they are actually doing more.
Yeah, it's weird.
The previous conservative government will blame Indigenous people, and they'll blame hippies and environmentalists and everybody else. than Trudeau and Company.
Oh, it's always the hippies.
Trudeau and Company are somehow able to get it done, or it's in progress anyway. Something else may stop that. But I mean, but that's not the point. We know, the world knows, that we have to get away from hydrocarbon everything, or it is pretty much, if it isn't over, things are going to be radically, radically changed for all of the life, not just the humans, that are going to be around well past us.
Mm-hmm.
And us is, I mean, I would even include the current millennials in that, right? You go forward 50, 60, 70 years, it's, you know, it's thawed before. The mammoth bones are falling out of the permafrost. It's, you know, it's fine. Like, that attitude just has to stop.
Also, vampires. I watched a whole Netflix show about how...
Falling out of the permafrost?
Yeah, no. It was, V-Wars on Netflix is a show about how scientists discover vampire virus in the permafrost.
Oh.
And then it starts a war between humans and vampires. So.
Well, you never know.
You've been warned.
Yes. I think we really need to do a TV review show. So many things I see on TV, I'm like, yeah, that's political.
We'll add that
vampires versus humans. Political. It's Twilight, but it's, you know, there's viruses.
We'll add that to the list of projects for the new year.
Oh, my God. So many projects.
I
can't keep up.
No, neither can I.
Aye, aye, aye.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break with some music as soon as I plug this in here. There we go. Anyway, we'll be right back with the good news story of the year and the worst politician awards. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus, and Community Radio.
And that was Adrian Rasso and Christian von Hamert. And this is super local. Anybody Guelph knows what's going on in this song. It's called Eric the Baker.
Hey, that's a store downtown.
Spending time on Carden Street across from City Hall. Adam walks by it daily.
I don't know if I walk by it daily, but quite a bit.
See Eric
sometimes
the Baker.
I go the other way.
My trip to court, I went to Eric the Baker for lunch. Anyway, the album is Gypsy Billy King.
Ba-ba-ba, trip to court?
Yeah.
Okay.
On one of the award shows, I'll, I don't know. Wait, this is the award
this
show.
This is the award show.
We're done. Okay, well, one of these days I'll tell my trip to court story. It was pretty hilarious, actually.
Oh,
it was
man.
Not a sad story. It had elements of sadness, but anyway.
I've been to court for sad occasions, but that's
yes,
that
this, is this
another
is more
story.
Like, I can't believe this is happening, but anyway.
Nothing to do with me. I was a witness. I just want to say that I was a witness. I was a witness to things.
I was a defendant. I will have to tell the story one of these days.
After that, yes.
Press me on it next time there's like a traffic issue we're talking about. I'll tell my court story.
We cover so much traffic issues
yes.
on this show.
Stop and go to slow on Gordon Street.
What you are we talking about? All right, the awards, right?
Yeah, which award is it now?
Let's do the good news story, and mine kind of lifts off from your dumpster fire. Because my good news story is actually that the climate movement actually penetrated this year. That there was actually, like, all the Fridays for Future, all the climate strikes, Greta, the fact that it was a major issue in the election, and it wasn't just like, yeah, I care about the environment, but what about taxes and healthcare? And I don't know why I'm doing that voice, but it was top of mind.
Because that's your taxpayer voice. I've heard it
right.
before.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But it was top
4%.
Of it was top of mind. and people voted for it. I mean, if there's a reason why the Conservatives did not break through in places like Toronto, the GTHA, even like they lost a seat in Kitchener, like a reliably conservative seat in Kitchener-Waterloo, they could not break through in Cambridge, which has been in the past sort of reliably conservative. It's just fascinating to like, why is that? It's because they have their crappy climate change plan, if it exists at all, which it doesn't seem to. We had this year Doug Ford try and pretend that he cares about the climate. But I mean, this is still the point. Like, the shiny, happy new Doug Ford ends when it's time to talk about the carbon tax and when it's time to talk about taking environmental action. Yet still you have Jeff Urich, the Minister of the Environment in Ontario, saying, well, we closed down all the coal flyer plants, didn't we? Which is not something that the Doug Ford conservatives did.
No, 20 years of liberals did that pretty much, right?
So it seems like the moment has arrived. The fact that Greta is on the front of Time magazine, Person of the Year. The fact that a lot of people are pointing to Greta and saying, like, she's an inspiration. The fact that you have Greens becoming official opposition in PEI. You have Greens, it wasn't the electoral breakthrough they expected, but still over a million people, 1.1, 1.2 million people voted Green in the last election. You have Mike Maurice up in Waterloo finishing second. You have Steve Dick down here finishing second. You can't deny that there's something going on. I'm not sure if, like, as you were pointing out, that there's a lot of climate change denialism, but I think it's a matter of, What voters are looking at more now is they're looking at, is it a matter of, are we doing enough on climate change? Do we want to elect someone who's going to do more on climate change? Or do we have to elect someone who's, like, doing middling on climate change so we can stop climate deniers from getting into office? And that's the part of it that I think we still have to overcome.
Sure. For all of my Gen X jadedness, you're not wrong there in that it is. Definitely very much on the radar. I would say even more so than it was 5 years ago. Although, I mean, the Liberals at the federal level took the time to change the environment ministry to the environment and climate change.
Right.
I don't know if that was just a shot at the previous government who were like, well, you know, the science is out.
Oh, it was a shot for sure.
So that this is to the Conservatives' detriment. I had a feeling it was going to go here in terms of, like, conservatives versus everybody else.
Yeah.
And as you were talking about Doug Ford's plan or lack of plan or alluded to it, that was something that was in the environment news, how the Auditor General in Ontario that breakdown.
Yeah.
And she was being very critical of the climate change plan, saying that there was no way it was going to work, that or there's no way that Ontario was going to hit their target, which was the aim is for 2030. To which Doug Ford said, well, you need to wait until 2030 to criticize this plan. And I was like, what? What? You actually said that? So
he went there.
Yeah, he went there. This is bizarro stuff, but that is how they roll. And I think until that party and similar parties change that tune, I don't think they're going to. Here's me saying they're not going to do well electorally, and then we look at all the provinces from Alberta and here, they are in charge, right? But it can't last. Those parties are in charge because people were so tired of the previous incumbents, Liberals in Ontario and the NDP in Alberta, who you thought were the Antichrist the way that they were going on. I don't, you know.
Well,
we somehow deviated there, but right. it all relates to the bigger picture, because so much of it, particularly in Alberta, is to do with the environment and anti-environmentalism.
Well, a lot of people
and anti-environmentalists as well, where you become blacklisted and you just like.
Well, a lot of people in Alberta made the point that one of the reasons the NDP lost is because they lost the support of progressive people who saw that Rachel Notley was still out there promoting oil and gas. They were trying to win the people who, I mean,
have it both ways.
Yeah, they were trying to have it both ways, and progressives are like, no, this is BS. You we don't want more oil and gas action. Like, you're the NDP. Yeah. Why aren't you governing like any? I mean, and she doesn't get any credit really for, like, passing a carbon tax or raising the minimum wage and doing a lot of NDP things. But still, I mean,
which will be undone before long, right?
Right. Yeah. The outward appearance, though, was that she was not as environmentally progressive as she could have been. But I mean, the local level, we have this huge debate here at City Council about passing a climate emergency. It didn't happen. They passed a climate crisis, which some people see as, like, kind of more watered down. The Upper Grand District School Board, though, did pass a climate emergency. You had Kitchener, Waterloo Region, Cambridge City Council, Kingston, several municipalities passing climate emergencies. Like, people get it. And the thing about the Auditor General's report is, like, people were pissed at the Liberals for canceling the gas plants and how much money that cost. This is like this, but for the Conservatives. Yeah. And if there were, like, smart people in the opposition parties, they'd be making that point. It's like the Conservatives were on the warpath for 8 years about gas plants, about canceling those projects and how much it costs. This is it, except this time it's windmills.
dismantling active things. I mean, the gas plants were just these. I went and looked at the one in Etobicoke. It was just like this. It was weird. Just this lump of concrete that didn't.
It's
quite
a hole in the ground. Yeah,
that didn't amount to a $1 billion hole in the ground. That should have been the Liberals undoing back then. But of course, the Conservatives had Tim Hudak, who's now with what. The real estate gang of Ontario, whatever the heck they call themselves.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So these, yeah, I don't know their real name, but their real name is Money. But
they should totally start their group and make the acronym Money.
Money, Money. Yeah, because that's what that is what it's all about.
I wonder if there's a group called Money. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
I think there's a group called Money.
You should talk about your
it's definitely
good news
a well covered song called Money. Yes, my good news story affects us directly, but also
does it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, good.
The Student Choice Initiative being struck down.
Ah, yes.
Now, this is an evolving story, and we're not sure where it's going to go yet because the Ontario government's appealed the decision, mm-hmm. but in a unanimous ruling. Was it late November? I don't remember the exact day.
Yeah, it was late.
We were all overwhelmed with joy because, as people know, as listeners of this station, wherever you may listen, know
it was before the AGM. It was the Thursday before the AGM.
Yes, the CFRU AGM.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was late November.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? Yes. So it
was good news.
It was a good news story because it came down that the provincial government, as much as they really, really wanted to interfere with the autonomy of the universities of the province and mm-hmm. what they're allowed to do with. And it's this the money in question doesn't even come from government.
No.
At all. It comes from the students. This is student referenda have paid or decided we are going to give this much money to this organization. It really does exist outside any of the province's sphere of influence, but somehow they feel.
Yeah.
And there are various reasons as to why they feel that way, but it does involve a lot of backroom people who generally hate student organizations. I was going to say my opinion, but it's true. If you want me to find some names, I will find them. But this is the truth of the matter, and they don't want to let it go. So, of course,
don't forget the folks.
The folkity friends. So, generally, when any decision goes against the government like this, they appeal it. It's kind of like the Liberals appealing every decision for Indigenous people,
which
will involve having to pay out. This actually doesn't involve a payout. This is purely a philosophical battle, right? So, in their appeal, the Ontario Conservatives have said, attaching conditions to government grants in no way interferes with university autonomy and independence. They are just not getting it. There's been no date set for this appeal, but a few things could potentially happen, one of which it will go back to the court and the judges will say, get out of here, we're sick of this, like get out of our hair. Or it might take a few months if there's some question as to what has to go on. But once again, student organizations across the province are left hanging.
Yeah.
And also the institutions that they work under. It's going to be, well, we don't really know whether we should let people opt in or opt out. And I guess the opt-in, opt-out thing only means something to certain people. I guess we don't want to get too into it, but students could choose. They've always been able to choose whether they want to give money to mm-hmm. certain organizations or not, with some exceptions, including athletics, which really bugs me and has since I was a student all those years ago. So, it's problematic. It is a good news story in that this government initiative, student choice initiative, was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's still sort of lingering. So we'll see this time next year as to whether, A, we're still on the air, and B, if we can have our award show. And if we do, it might be in a podcast form because this went through. So,
well, I mean, the thing I'll say about the court case, this was like fairly decisive. It was like, not only is it like unconstitutional, it's like you're interfering in stuff that you're not supposed to interfere with. All this stuff is decided by students in referenda. You shouldn't be screwing around with this. And then the flip side of it is too, is that, and the court made the point, it was so arbitrary. It's like you have to pay sports. You have to pay for sports, but you don't pay for student government. Like you have to pay for your transit pass, but you don't pay for campus media. Seems a bit weird, you know, so especially since, as you said, it's all sort of like decided on by students, like in terms of, and the option was always there too. And then there's also the fact that it was different depending on what university you go to. So mm-hmm. here at the U of G, Ontarian gets by with 75% of previously expected funding. Eyeopener gets defunded to the tune of 80%. And, you know, they're covering big scandals with their student government, actual corruption,
yeah.
And they're defunded 80%? you know, it's...
But a lot of that is to do with the setup in terms of the way Guelph's was that you had to untick a box.
Right.
Whereas in other places... that's my point, and yeah. I believe this is what's happened at U of T and other places, is that you need to actually... The choice is that you need to choose.
Right.
So it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's like negative billing, but it's like...
Yeah, you have to choose to opt in.
If the kids are too lazy to open the page, then they don't.
Exactly.
But the at one point, the cannon, the famous cannon that we have on campus, which is a bit of a, it's become a political sounding board, was painted blue and it said, opt out, save $94. And that,
which was also incorrect.
Well, but when you put it in those terms, it's like, you just go, $94, what in the scheme of things, what is that?
Well,
you get, there's a lot of value, and we're not just tooting our own horn here, or me anyway. You get a lot of value for your dollar in student clubs. And beyond radio and media, which is where our interests lie, there are all sorts of other clubs that do lots and lots of things that people are involved with. And whether they get a nickel or a buck, it all adds to the student experience. Well, the CSA, the Central Student Association, being the big one, they do so much for people and they don't realize. Until the threat of it going away, I described it to someone. I said, there will be no fun. There's going to be no events. There'll be no bands. There'll be no free hot dogs in the first week of September. No parties. No cake. All that stuff. People are like, oh, great, there's cake.
Well, forget about that. I mean, there's no shack. Where do you go if you have trouble with your landlord?
Yeah.
To a lawyer? Cool.
The internet. The internet will tell you everything you need to know.
There's a YouTube video for that. But so, I mean... Yeah, you don't know.
Very important things that don't actually cost that much in the scheme of things. Like you say, if you had to get legal advice, you'd be broke. You might as well not be a student, right?
Yeah.
Or not fight it and just suck it up and let your landlord walk all over you, which you should not do.
No, for sure.
So that's a good news story with an asterisk, I would say.
Right. I mean, the plus side is, I mean, the Fort government is basically kind of incompetent in a lot of the things they do.
In your opinion? So
in my opinion, yes.
Just doing the cover there.
That
in mine too.
You know, they had this great idea, and it's one of a numerous of things that have gone to court since they've enacted it and have been, like, think of this Toronto City Council. I mean, but it's too late because they enacted the notwithstanding. But, I mean, there's just a list of stuff where they go to court. They say, no, you can't do this. And then they've cut funding. And then they're like, oh, no, we have to put this funding back now. Because it turns out a lot of people like getting legal aid. So
this probably hasn't been as much litigation against any Ontario government as this current one.
No.
I may be wrong.
Well, certainly not in year one.
I may be. Yeah, because it's everything. It's, well, this is in court. And the teacher's in court. And the students are in court. And the autism parents are in court. And everybody is in court.
Yeah.
So something is not right.
We have to get to the worst politician in the year. So yes. What's yours?
Well, also on point, I just gave it to like all Ontario conservatives. And this is an opinion piece, folks. The views expressed are mine and mine only. Although people do share them, they really do top the charts. A very close runner-up was the Alberta government, but for different reasons.
Yeah, keep it local. Keep it local.
And this is as we were saying in the last bit there about, you know, they've just chopped. Well, first of all, there's Doug Ford, who has a whole other realm of like, man, you're so bad. But on the whole, when you add up, as you say, within the first year, everything that's happened. The series of cuts I mentioned, the autism, I said the parents, but it is actually the autism children, if you really want to get down to it. Cutting legal aid, cuts to public health, beating on Toronto, wanting to take over the TTC. It's a very, very long list. And of course, if you criticize any of these things, you're automatically pointed out as a leftist. You're a lefty.
But cool.
Yeah. But... And in my case, that is true. However, I'm not going to deny it because people know where I am, know where I sit on these things. But saying stuff like, I can't remember who it was that one of the conservatives said that Ontario is a failed state. And I've heard this more than once. This isn't a failed state, right? Mm-hmm. But this is the government, and this is the state that you get when people govern on philosophy rather than good governance. Mm-hmm. And I've said this, I know I've said this before because I think it keeps coming up. In the past, we've had conservative governments that have done things that I think on the whole, the majority of Ontarians would consider as good. The college system, things like TV Ontario, things like opening up funding to all schools so that in grade 10 or whatever it was, all the Catholic kids didn't have to go down the street because their parents couldn't afford high school. And this isn't that long ago. That was actually my first year of high school was when that happened, right? Because I am positively ancient. But you know what I'm saying? There were conservative governments in the past and people didn't have this sort of visceral thing. You know, they look at somebody like Bill Davis, who is still alive, it seems, and say, yeah, you know, he was a pretty good guy. You know, he wasn't that bad.
Are you saying somebody's pulling a Weekend at Bernie's with Bill Davis?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure because last time I saw him, he had a big bandage on his head. But he might even be 90-something. I don't know. He's definitely in the 80s. But in addition to that, too, and once again, I'm going to go totally local and totally personal. It really bothers me, as I know it does you, that they absolutely refuse to set foot in here and speak to us. And also out in the community, they don't want to talk to us. And I would extend that to the feds and most, if not all, card-carrying conservatives. Not always through time, but the current groove of conservatives. Groove? Where am I going with this? The current gang?
I don't know. I love watching it, though.
No, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, because you can't see me gesticulating. People are like, in my Red Star t-shirt. Don't take a picture, Adam. We might get in trouble. We might get called leftists. And I have a comment written here that I won't read.
I have some bad news for you.
I can't believe. Okay, well, I'm saying we. It is the royal we, as you narrow. Anyway, so, like, I probably shouldn't just continuously pile scorn on them, but I would gladly redact everything I said if I extend to them that they know that the door is always open.
Well, it's...
We've had people on here that have right-wing opinions, way more severe than anything.
I was going to say hashtag not all conservatives because we had people who were part of right-leaning parties.
I'm specifically speaking about card-carrying big C conservatives. We have low small C conservatives in here, I would say all of the time, particularly in the last election. They came.
I mean, all the time. There are people in Guelph City Council would probably identify as small C conservative.
Yeah, for sure.
Who come on our show. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean...
But that's not specific... As you know, that's not who I'm specifically
speaking about. The party apparatus, yeah.
But I think why I gave it to the Ontario Conservatives, because I think they're too scared to face the people that they've screwed, as we mentioned in the other topic. It's like, I can't go to a community radio station and talk to those people and a campus community station because I'm too embarrassed. And that's my take on it. It's like they don't want to engage us because they know that they absolutely screwed us and the students. And I don't know, maybe we can leave it at that. But that's how I see it. And until there's some sea change in that area, I'm just going to give them the...
There needs to be a personnel change.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to address this to local conservatives because I know that we have local conservatives who listen and people who are like part of the party. Like, your party is being run by people who aren't interested in engaging. And if you want to hear conservative voices on in the local media, on community radio, and we're not... like Rush Limbaugh types. We're not going to tear them apart. We're not the liberal version of Limbaugh or Hannity or any of those
people. If you're regular listeners, you will know we strive for that regardless of our own...
pretty friendly people.
Yeah, regardless of our own opinions. Adam's out there all the time. You see, I'm not out there as much all the time.
Which is ironic.
Day job and all of that. But
which is ironic because I don't care for socializing, but that's fine.
No, it's not socializing, but you are there. I personally consider you, Guelph Politico is one of the media presences in town, and you cover a lot of stuff that just doesn't get the coverage because of the way that media is evolving. So beyond the bloggers and the podcasters and all of that people in their basements doing their own thing, you to get proper media, you need to get out there and get it, and that's what you do, and I do on occasion as a part-time the B unit of this gang. How did that go from the conservatives are the worst to tooting our own horns? But as I've said, after everything I've said, and people know where I stand, the door is always open.
Okay, well, I do have to get to my worst politician, but it is of a type. And I did choose Andrew Scheer, and I chose him before he quit.
Smoked. he quit. That's right, yeah.
But I mean,
yeah,
it just,
wink, he quit.
It's, again, Trudeau had big, big, big holes in the campaign, and holes you could drive a truck through, and he couldn't seal the deal. Why? Because he won't talk about why he won't march in a pride parade. He won't talk about abortion. He won't talk about climate change. It's because he knows that the vast majority of people were not, are not of the same mind as him as these issues, but he won't say it. And because I don't know why, because one of the things I've heard a lot after the election is like, people are like, dude, we know your opinions, just say it so we can move past it. Because I think people would be able to make some sort of peace with like, yeah, you know what? Me personally, I find gay people icky. I don't want to go. I don't like gay people.
Then you're really done.
Well, he would be done, but I think people would say, at least we know where you stand.
Yep.
By refusing to acknowledge that you have those feelings, you're leaving the door open. If he had just said, like, look, I'm not a big fan of gay people. I find it's immoral in my religion. But having said that, this is a secular country, and I'm not going to work to undo that. You won't get everybody with that, but you'd probably silence it enough. The reason why people keep asking is because he wouldn't answer. And because of that, it was this albatross around his neck that kept dragging him down.
And it made him look really weak.
And meanwhile, he kept getting like these scandals, these silly scandals. Like, he wasn't a real insurance broker. He didn't have his license or something.
He was an American.
He had dual citizenship, which again isn't a scandal. There are a lot of dual citizens.
There shouldn't be.
One on this show.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was like, go back to 2005 and he's like, you know what? I'm kind of suspicious of this Melchior Jean as a dual citizen in Haiti. It's like, do you not think this stuff is going to come back and bite you in the ass?
Yeah.
It's just, it drives you crazy. And, you know, as someone who, I would love to have a conservative leader I could theoretically get behind.
Well, I think that's probably going to be a possibility.
But, you know, I don't know. You never, like, now that he's kind of retiring, it's going to go one of two ways. They're either going to find someone who's a little more to the left, a little more centrist,
yeah,
acknowledging that that's been a problem in terms of sealing this deal, or they're going to go to some crank like Kevin, what's his face, from Dragon's Den.
Kevin O'Leary?
Yeah. We need someone just crazy. We need someone crazy because that's what worked in Ontario. That's what worked in the United States.
But, yeah. And that's, I think we're at the point in history, and maybe forever now, at least in Canada, is that social conservatives can definitely be premiers.
Yeah.
In places, a social conservative may never, ever, I would be very surprised if a social conservative, even if they're, say, liberal,
right,
is ever going to be the prime minister of this country again.
Well, people forget
from
that
now on.
Harper,
it's just not going to happen.
Harper had a lot of these same suspicions, too. Like, people thought, like, he's going to get in, he's going to axe abortion, he's going to axe gay marriage, even though I think he was probably a bit more firm. And he had the benefit of like not having like the Bozo eruption that's been in the Conservative Party the last few years. But
to his credit, he played it well.
Yeah, Harper, people, you know, was able to sort of put that aside. But you're right, Harper at his best still only won like 166 seats. It was a bare minimum majority. A lot of those seats were won by like a couple hundred votes.
Yes,
if you want to have the kind of majority victory that, you know, for a decisive victory, like a decisive conservative government where you're not going to be worried for like 18 months when the, you know, the knives are going to come out from the opposition parties, you need full-blooded national support. And that's where Scheer went so wrong. He couldn't win in Toronto, couldn't win in GTHA, couldn't win in Western Ontario.
No, there was no way. And of course, you know, blew across the prairies, and that's fine. I mean, that is not unexpected, right? There's always been this, I wouldn't say deficit, but the prairies go blue generally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then in BC, it's you know, you get across the mountains, things are different once again.
Right.
But as I said, and I think there are some contenders in the wings. Do you want to take, should we take a couple of stabs? Like predictions? We haven't done predictions yet, but I was even thinking somebody along the lines of Michelle Rempel, who's been around a long time and is definitely not a social conservative, but the type of conservative.
Could be.
And
yeah,
from the West.
Sure. It's good, solid pick.
McKay's name has never really left the radar. Peter McKay.
No, but I wonder how many like real people support Peter McKay and not just like backroom people.
And that's exactly it. And the third one that would be a guess of mine would be Rona Ambrose.
Rona would be a solid pick.
I like Rona. I think Rona would have a shot at it. And even, you know, before, I wouldn't say before airtime, but when all the stuff blew with Scheer, And Twitter is exploding and Facebook is exploding. Her name it was exploding with everything else.
Yeah.
And yeah. that could be our stay tuned moment. So.
All right. Well, speaking
And Rona, you're always welcome to come on the show at any time.
And she listens religiously.
I think so.
We'll have to
on her yacht.
We'll see what happens. The Aga Khan Island throwback gag.
Yes.
The
yacht is circling the
hey,
island.
Hey, remember when that was a controversy?
Yeah. They just party on different islands, but the end result is the same in my world. But anyway.
Good times.
Yeah. That's it. All awards have been given out. Congratulations to all our winners.
Yeah. All that's left is the after party and then the after party.
Mm, hamburgers.
All right.
And fries.
We're going to be back to live next week, so you can enjoy more of this just, you know, off the cuff. Anyway, if you like the show again, find us on our website, opensourcesguelph.com. Find us on Facebook at OpenSources Newswire or on Twitter at @OS_Guelph. You can listen to the show again and listen to all shows on our website. You can find them every Monday or on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or through your favorite podcast app at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Adam A. Donaldson, or you can go to my news site at GuelphPolitico.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and I blog at spannerbook.wordpress.com. Happy 2020, everybody. See you this year.
Yeah, still no flying cars, by the way, but that's fine.
Oh.
Stay tuned for DJ Sounds Good to Me at the top of the hour here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio, and we will again be back live and in person next Thursday at 5 p.m. and we will see you then.